Why don't we just open in prayer? I don't know if I can get through all of this, or just pray that the Lord will tell me either where to stop or what to do. But I just really feel like God wants to do something significant in this time. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and lead and guide and direct. We open our hearts in this next small amount of time to the work of the Holy Spirit to bring freedom in our lives. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We about 13, 14 years ago, there was a lady in our church that was dying of cancer, and she had a cat, and I wasn't necessarily a cat person. My wife likes cats, but she asked us if we would take the cat. So for 13 years, we've had this cat, and then a couple of weeks ago, it didn't come back home. You know, we live in the woods, so we've looked everywhere and everything. And last night, I was thinking about this because this cat was a hunting machine. I mean, it killed all day, every day. There's mice left as offerings, you know, dissection of mice on the front porch every time that we'd walk out and such. And I never even, no mice, no chipmunks or anything came near our house. And so last night we were sitting outside by our fire table that we got from the throwers, and we were sitting at the table. And we are watching mice run across the side of the house, run across the driveway. Chipmunks are going everywhere. And one of the thoughts that came to mind is just how bold that those mice are now, you know. It would not have happened just a short time ago. And so I said, we're going to get another cat. We're going to get maybe a couple. But I was thinking about this in our lives is, you know, the boldness of these mice last night just really spoke to my heart, that when the cat is gone, the mice come out. And in our lives, when we don't allow the cat, if you would let me use the reference, which is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, to come into our lives at moments and times to do some work, then all of a sudden, the enemy becomes bold and begins to run rampant in our lives, and we are wondering what's going on, why is this happening? And I know this is like a weird connotation that the Lord gives me sometimes, some weird things, but I really feel like the Lord's going to release some cats today in our lives, and is going to destroy some of those things that the enemy has been doing. Now, we've been talking about for the last, since January, about returning to our roots in the context of the New Testament church. Sometimes I feel like we need to just, what we have known, what the church has become and is in our culture, in our society, in some ways almost think we need to just scrap all of it, go back and read the Bible and do what the Bible says to do and be who the Bible says to be. And that is the New Testament church that we see in the book of Acts. And I want to lift out of that was a part of our roots, if you would, of the church, that often is overlooked or just kind of skimmed through. But there was a unique characteristic of the Holy Spirit that was present in the early church, and it was joy. Joy. And joy is actually in our roots. Let me just give you a few of those places that I have found in the book of Acts that highlight this characteristic of joy in the body of Christ, in the church, in us. Acts 2, 28. I love this verse. It's coming out of a psalm of David. And this is being declared by Peter. It says, "You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." So it's so key there. I love how the Amplified says it this way. "You have made known to me the ways of life. You fill me in infusing my soul," like putting it in, infusing my soul with joy with your presence. So literally, when we come to a place of worship, when we come into the presence of God, whether it's by ourselves, and even sometimes there's something special about corporately, when we come, the presence of the Lord comes and he infuses your soul with joy. How many would like to have some of that? How many need some of that? I was thinking about this in the book of Acts in chapter 8. Philip goes to Samaria, and when he gets there, he is anointed by God, and there's miracles that are happening. And I love in the Amplified, it says this way in verse 7, "For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many were who were paralyzed or lame were healed." And look in verse 8, "So there was great joy in that city." So literally, because of the move of God that came to this city, the great joy was released in that city. How many would like to see some great joy released in this city? And it's not how the world thinks it is accomplished. It's by the presence of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 52, the disciples are out and they're wore out. They've been battling, you know, the enemy. They've been preaching the gospel. They've been persecuted. They've been beaten. All these things. They come together in a corporate meeting. After all this, they're kind of wore out, and it says this, "And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit." So literally, they came together, wore out, been through the ringer. How many have ever been through the ringer? And all of a sudden, they came together, and the Holy Spirit started moving, and they were filled with joy. They literally, this is not like just good preaching material, they literally were changed in the presence of God. They left different than how they came. That's good, isn't it? And then Acts 15, verse 3, and it says, "And they caused great joy among all the brethren." And the last one, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. I love this verse. "But none of these things moved me." He's talking about all the craziness. This should be like our theme verse. All the things we see going on in our country and the elections and the craziness around us in the world. "But none of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." How many want to finish with joy? And I really believe that God is going to do that in our lives today. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 11. "I have spoken these things to you." And how many know he said a lot? But he said, "I said all these things that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be made full." Now, what I love here, it says that my joy, say my joy. And when he's saying that, he's saying my joy, meaning the joy that is in Jesus Christ. Can you realize that Jesus had joy? We don't think about that. He had joy. He said he did. But then he said that my joy may remain in you, and then it becomes your joy. Because he gives it to us, and that joy might be full. Now, if he says this, it must be important, right? He must really thought we needed it. Let me just, John 15, verse 11 in the New Living Translation. "I told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." So he's literally saying that the joy that he has will get in you, and it will become so filled up in you that you will overflow that joy, and that everyone you come in contact with begins to experience the joy of the Lord. Listen, even unbelievers. And that overflow of the joy, it causes them to taste of God, to taste of the things of heaven. And I'm telling you, if this is the kind of mode that the believers' lives were in, we would be able to change the world around us a lot more, but we're so gloomed and despaired and depressed ourselves that we're not able to really overflow with joy like we're supposed to be. But we're going to be, right? John 17, verse 13. "Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so they would be filled with my joy." The reality, though, this might not, you may not agree with this, or this may not be your perspective, but the reality that I see is I don't see full of joy would describe most people that I know. And sadly, even most Christians that I know. So many in our own lives, and I'm talking about even myself, where I'll come into times and battle depression and anxiety. And that now it's even become very prevalent in our culture. Every week, almost every day, we hear of someone that commits suicide and takes their own life
that depression had led them to the point that they felt like there was nothing worth living for. And the sad thing is, it's becoming even prevalent in the Christian community. There's a great writer named Philip Long, and I was reading one of his books, and this is just a quote. I know this is kind of sad, but he said, "Depression is a dark, lonely place. For me, it feels as though I'm trapped, drowning, with no hope of rescue. This has been my reality for as long as I can remember. For me, depression feels as though I'm trapped, drowning, with no hope of rescue." See, this is what depression does. And it is a demonic thing from the enemy. It's not just, I know there's all kinds of factors involved in depression, chemical imbalances and, you know, the serotonin and all these kind of things factor in. But we also must understand that at its core, it is a spiritual battle that we're fighting. I was reading, and I have some up there, but even more recently, my wife and I used to pastor in northern Idaho, and in the community that we live there, one of my spiritual sons is the pastor of that church now. And one of his friends, who is a pastor in that local community, the largest church in that county, just recently went for a walk on a walking trail and committed suicide. And people can't even fathom how that could happen. Now, one of the things my wife and I have talked about in that area, there is a spirit of suicide is very prevalent, and in the church needs, in that community, needs to take authority over that. But listen, folks, we are at a place now, and this is, if you read even some new recent articles in Charisma Magazine about the number of pastors globally right now that are committing suicide, we need to stop and say, okay, what is the problem? What is going on, and what can we do about it? And so within the last year, 16 million American adults have experienced major depression. And I'm not saying that there isn't time for medication. Yes, but that can't be the number one answer. That can't be what we're... And even if you study this issue of depression, that it's becoming younger and younger. That now we have 12-year-olds that are having to go to the doctor because they're battling depression. And you're thinking, like, a lot of their situations could be, but a lot of times you're thinking, like, what does a 12-year-old need to be depressed about? Like, go play ball or, go fishing, something. But this is where we are. If you look medically right now, I think it's over 10% of all people that go to the doctor, ER, can be related to depression. Depression is the leading cause of disability in the U.S., for people between 15 and 44. The average age of the onset of depression is 32, and every year it's getting younger and younger. Women are 70% more likely than men to have depressive episodes. There was an article that was put out by CNN called Finding Hope, Battling America's Suicide Crisis. Suicide is the 10th leading... I know I'm saying all these things because, boy, this is really a downer, Todd. Yeah, we're going to get there, okay? We're going to get to the positive. But we got to know where we're at and see the situation that we're in. Suicide was the second leading cause of death among individuals between 10 and 34. There was more than twice as many suicides as homicides, almost 1.5 million suicide attempts every year in the United States. 1.5 million people try to commit suicide. And I'm going to buzz through this, but you can get these, we'll email this PowerPoint to you if you want later. But let me just give you 10 signs of depression in our life. Number one, persistent sadness. Number two, self-loathing. Number three, the loss of interest in all activities. Number four, irritability. My brain. Irritability. There we go. And isolation, anxiety, loss of energy, disturbed sleep patterns, change in appetite and body weight, reckless behavior, and the last one, then even suicide and suicidal tendencies. And so when we talk about depression, we have to understand that we are a body, soul, and spirit, right? That we're made up of those three things, three parts of us. But there's just one of us. But we have a body. There's a soul, and then there's a spirit. And so The body, the physical or chemical imbalances definitely can contribute. The soul, mental disorders, emotional disorders, and a spiritual battle. And this is so key that you get this, is Satan wants you depressed. He likes for you to be depressed. Why? Because you become less effective towards him and his kingdom of darkness, when you are depressed. I love this verse, for the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the evidence of the kingdom in operation and manifesting in your life is joy. So if there's no joy and you're bound by depression, it is a sign that the kingdom is not being manifested. And so what we need to do is, when we find ourselves, all of us will find ourselves in those moments and times in our life where depression has crept into us, into our lives, that we need to realize that the kingdom of God can come in that moment, in this moment, in today, and drive out depression and bring, by the Holy Spirit, joy into our lives. How many want some of that? And even when you look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is born in our life. We bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and one of those fruits are joy. That the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life will produce joy in us. And then it goes on in, let me read this, Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Say every part. Including the part that has to do with depression and moving it out and letting the Holy Spirit bring joy. Kingdom joy is not dependent upon current circumstances. And then I always like to put in parentheses, that is easy for you to say. You're not experiencing what I am right now. It's so easy for us to say that in our life. But so many of us have had traumatic events that have happened, grief, loss, divorce, financial issues, betrayal, physical issues, sickness, relational issues. Anybody ever had some issues before? We've had some issues. And so those issues, the enemy uses them to erode away the joy of God in your heart and in your life. But the reality is this, is the kingdom of God is not based upon the circumstances around you. It's not meat or drink. What does that mean? It means it's not out here somewhere. It's not, it's not an exterior thing. The kingdom of God is within us, right? And the kingdom of God produces joy inside of our life. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You see that in much affliction, but still joy. No matter what you go through, the joy of the Holy Spirit is not dependent upon your circumstances, your experiences, or what you are facing in your life right now. The joy of the Holy Spirit is based upon the kingdom of God, and it has authority over everything else. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. How are we going to establish by the Holy Spirit and partner with the Holy Spirit to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit in our life? Number one, living prepared for trouble. That don't sound like a very faced confession there, but how many know in this world you have tribulation, but be a good cheer. So live prepared for trouble. And there's 7 reasons why so many Christians are not prepared for trouble. They think that nothing, if you have a wrong theology, nothing bad ever happens to God's people. How many know? How many have had some bad things? Wrong thinking, living ungrateful. You don't see the suffering and issues of others because you're so self-focused on, oh, woe is me, my troubles. Always blaming others for your problems. You don't truly live with an eternal perspective. And number 7, you wait for the crisis to draw near to God instead of walking with the Lord every day. Amen? Second thing, receive healing quickly when wounded. Events, people, disappointments, regrets. Whenever you're wounded, get healed quickly. Don't carry it. I have so many people that are patients of mine, and they'll literally tell me a story about their woundedness, and you would think it was yesterday and it was 30 years ago. We've got to get rid of that. Got to get rid of the places of unforgiveness, bitterness. All of that is just going to lead you down the road where depression is going to be. Get rid of disappointments even. And so many of the newer Bibles, they're taking out of, in the book of Luke, where it says that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. For this reason he came. They've taken that part out, and there's a whole bunch of different reasons for that. But the reality is that Jesus came to heal broken hearts. That's what he's into. That's what he does. That's who he is. And that didn't end when he went to heaven. It continues for us today. Let me kind of go ahead all the way to where it says Psalm 69, verse 20. Let me just show you some of these verses. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. How many have ever been in that kind of place? The reality is, we can try to act like we're super spiritual, but I think that every one of us have been in moments and times in our life like that. Jesus, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so, the reality, the third thing, is that we need to get deliverance when the enemy comes. Break generational curses, receive the blessings of God, close every door of sin that is allowing access to the enemy. In Matthew chapter 15, it's talking about deliverance there, and it says, this is the children's bread. How many are the children of God? And so the children's bread is deliverance, and deliverance wasn't just for the one time you went to Cleansing Stream 30 years ago. It is for today. It is for right now in our lives. So get deliverance when the enemy comes. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Man, that's the word of God. That's the word of God. He will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. How many are ready to get rid of depression? How many are ready to receive the joy of the Lord? Amen? All right, stand up with me. The Bible says this, that he confirms his word with signs following. So we have heard the word of the Lord. We just serve notice right now on that spirit of despair, that spirit of depression. Those rats that are running loose in our lives. Lord, send the cats. Destroy the works of darkness. For this reason, Lord Jesus, you were manifested to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy the works of darkness. Jesus, you said you were anointed to heal broken hearts. I pray this morning that you would come and do that. Heal hearts. We release all bitterness, all unforgiveness, anything, any grudge, any regrets, any thoughts of hopelessness. We release all of that. Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 13, we see a picture of the believers when they came together after they wore out because of all the things the enemy was doing against them. And in the midst of that, Lord, it says that the Holy Spirit came. Holy Spirit, you came, and it says that they were filled with joy. God, we pray because that same Holy Spirit is available to us right now. Come and fill us, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of the sins I've committed that open the doors for these spirits to come in. I forgive those who have offended me. But I am coming to you in total obedience, surrendering all to you, my body, my soul, my mind, and my spirit. Forgive me for neglecting your word. I've allowed these spirits of heaviness to rob me of the good things you have for me. Forgive me for not praising you, for not worshiping you as I should, because I know that the garment of praise helps to keep those demonic forces out. I break now in Jesus' mighty name all generational curses of depression, despair, and heaviness passed down to me from generations before me. I now also break the power of those curses over my children and grandchildren. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over my whole family in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. And Lord, we pray right now that you will baptize us fresh and new with joy, Lord. Let the, like we were reading, the, you would infuse our soul with the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. It's what we need to carry on in this world that is so crazy. But in the midst of it, Holy Spirit, you give us joy and strength to go. And so we do that in Jesus' name. Let it be an overflow, Lord. Overflow of joy. Overflow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just wade into this anointed moment for a little bit more. Hallelujah. Are there some of you, just tell you what, everybody close your eyes and stuff, but wave at me if you feel like you're in the process of God taking you out of a depression. We've taken authority now. And the Holy Spirit has come because His anointing breaks the yoke of oppression. Breaks it. Breaks the yoke of depression. Breaks it. Destroys it. The anointing destroys the yoke of oppression. Jesus came to destroy it. Now bring your heart to the Lord. There may be in your heart right now a place where you, the Holy Spirit's highlighted a sense of fragment, a sense of bruising, a sense of needing wholeness, and you just decreed and declared forgiveness to those who've offended you. You've come and declared a breaking of generational bondage, places where the adversary can secretly get through. Lift your heads. Lift your heads. Hallelujah. Lift your heads. He's the glory and lifter of my head. Lift your heads. Lift your heads. Lift your heads. I just softly pray in the Spirit. I just pray. Pray in tongues. I'm just going. I just realized the moment I said pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is actually interceding for family members. Go ahead and do that. Family members that have been under the influence of depression, just pray in the Spirit. Just go ahead and fill your heart up with intercession right now. And thank the Lord for breaking the curse off of others that are not here with you right now. Praise Him. Man, this is really hard. It's hard, but praise Him. Praise the Lord. And some of you, look, it's just lifting off of you. The moment you start praying for somebody else, the Holy Spirit goes, we're not done with you. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't have to get used to the heaviness. You don't have to get used to the depression. You don't have to get used to that. You can shed that today. Be gone with that today. Step into the joy of the Lord that He has for you. He's delighted in you. Experience the delight of the Lord inside of yourself. Say, thank you, Lord, for the joy that you have for me. Like a kid dancing in front of an unconditional love of the Father. Just praise Him, praise Him, praise Him with me. Praise You, Lord, praise You. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Hey, honey, would you come? Praise Your hand, Lord, carry Christ. Just intercede with her. Praise You, Jesus. Rosemary, would you come? Just show me. Let's just invite a visitation over that whole clan. In the name of Jesus. There's been so many lies and deceptions and deceits and confusions, but the Lord is lifting this off of you right now. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Let that burden of the Lord be gone to Him. It's trying to assault you and to get you distressed. It's coming off of you. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. God's intention as we walk out of here, shackle free, released, released. Hallelujah. There are a few of you where there's just these thought processes that keep circling back around. And the Lord says, I don't want those thought processes circling back around in your life. They sneak up and you accept them too quickly. The Lord says, put your foot down. Rise up. My portion for you is joy. My portion for you is freedom. My portion for you is not that you come under any old thought process that shows up in your mind. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over that. Let's praise Him. Go ahead and pray. Let's stand in the Lord. Stand in the Lord. The shed blood of Jesus is over your life right now. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is pouring over your soul. It's being applied to you. And that means that the death angel has to go, can't hang around your life because of the blood of Jesus that's sprinkled on the doorpost of your own soul. Praise You, Jesus. Let's go and lift up. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord has already provided a way for you to be freed from those assaults and attacks that come in your life. You sense a change, don't you? He's working in your life right now. Praise You, Jesus. Go ahead and praise Him. Praise You, Lord. Lord's taking you up to a new level. He's taking you up. This is, you said, I'm not going to go there anymore. There's sometimes we have a lingering thing that wants to show up again. You don't have to let it show up. You can run it away, get the thing out of my life, and fill up your heart with the love of the Father, with the word of the Lord. Praise You, Jesus. And it's so important to have other people that are walking this way. They're lifting, you lift each other up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Gordy, Tammy, go ahead and put your hands on his shoulders. He's receiving. Let's say, Lord, receive. 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 Open up your, swing both doors of your heart wide open right now. There's a craving in your heart for love. It's a deep craving. And you've, like many, you figured, I've not lived the way where that would be mine. And the Lord says, no, it's yours. I love you this way. I've always loved you this way. I'm going to just love you right now. Let the Lord love you. Let Him love you. He's never stopped. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped. Let the heat of His cherished love fill your soul right now. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. His perfect love casts out fears of being isolated, fears of being rejected. His fears. Just go ahead and lift your hands to the Lord's Lord. As we're doing this, it's prophetically flowing here. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus.
Many of you have struggled with the spirit of hopelessness. If that's been you, when just kind of, just signal so that I won't talk if I'm out of here. Hopeless. Like, this is hopeless. It's not going to ever change. Now, you've been in a battle for a long time. You've prayed and prayed and prayed for a long time and no answers. I mean a long time, concerning your family, concerning your finances. Is that, I mean, come on, can somebody be honest? There's something that you've prayed about and you just, there's no answer yet. And it's hard to be joyful when there's no answer. Lord, are You going to answer this? I've prayed, I've believed, I've struggled. Where are you in this, Lord? Other than the fact that you might need some deliverance from a spirit of hopelessness, which I have been delivered from. If you are a kingdom-loving person, if you love Jesus, you have hope. Because he is going to fulfill your requests. You must not choose hopelessness, but choose hope that in his timing, because he knows all things, it will be perfectly done. He is sovereign. He will lovingly do what you have prayerfully submitted and asked him to do. But you can't let hopelessness keep you faltering in faith. You have to say, no, Lord, I believe. I believe you'll do it in your time. Now, hopelessness, in the name of Jesus, I command you to loose my life now. You loose my emotions now. You loose my mind now in Jesus' name. And you even come off my body, depression. I speak to you now in Jesus' name. Go. Tell it to go. If you don't tell it to go, it's just going to stay there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for delivering me. Revealing to me, I am a kingdom person. Say, I am a kingdom person. I'm a daughter, I'm a son of the King. In Jesus' name, I live by kingdom values. He is my hope. He promised he would answer my prayers. It's settled. Hear that, hopelessness. It's settled. My prayers are answered. In Jesus' name. Amen? If that wasn't for you, it was for me.
Go ahead and encourage one another, love each other. If there's other further need for prayer, we're down here. God bless. Praise you, Jesus.